Reaching Out Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
It's not just about the manger where the baby laid. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not just about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's about the cross. It's not just about the presence underneath the tree. It's not all about the feeling that the season brings to me. It's not just about coming home to with those you love. Oh, it's not all about the beauty in the snow I'm dreaming of. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone. The cross. It's about the cross.
In one study of the church in the last year, it seems that many are falling apart and disintegrating right in front of our eyes. People who were very strong church people, churchgoers, are now leaving the church in droves because many of the pastors are being exposed for what they are. And this was prophesied by the prophets in those last days. There are churches who are totally anti-Christ. They're into pedophilia. They're into even child sex trafficking. It's unbelievable what we hear coming to the surface. And we're just starting to see the tip of the iceberg. Governments will be exposed and churches will be exposed. The Bible teaches in the last days, everything that will be that can be shaken will shake up. So where do you stand with God today? That is the question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? We are fast running out of time. Jesus is warning by the signs of the times, by what's going on, that he could come for his bride. Yes, there's going to be an incredible harvest before the great tribulation, but it's going to go very quickly. The Lord says he will do a quick work on this earth. And I believe many who have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, but did not accept him as Savior, they will be plunged into the great tribulation, where they will have to pay for what they believe in. If we think what we're going through now is tough, it's going to be far worse during the hour of Jacob's trouble. So we need to turn to the Lord now. I want to teach on a subject today that I believe we as Christians should take to heart. We need to teach other people, and we need to make sure that we ourselves know where we stand with God. When we look at the Christmas seasons that come and go, the world over the last 40, 50 years, and even the church, has been brought into a lot of materialism. Maybe God is telling us by these COVID restrictions that we need to start paying attention, that Jesus needs us to turn to him, for he will take every idol from our heart that he can. If he has to do it by force, he will do it. So we need to turn to him and seek his face and be a blessing to those around us. So today, before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. You will open people's hearts and minds to the truth of the signs of the times. I thank you for your grace, and I ask you to anoint this message. Bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 53 in verse 1, it tells us this. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That's a very interesting scripture. Who believes God, and to whom does God reveal himself to? When we look at what is going on all over the world, we can see that many people who call themselves Christians don't really understand what true Christianity is. It is unbelievable when you watch on TV or on YouTube on how they prescribe Christianity. Christianity is not a social gospel. Many people are trying to bring in socialism today, but I want to say this: Christianity is not a social gospel. The gospel of Christianity is this: we're lost, dead in trespasses and sin, on our way to the lake of fire, and we need the blood of Jesus to keep us from that awful place. And that is what the gospel is. we can be as kind and as good to other people. We can give our money to the poor. We can give our body to be burned, says the Bible. But if we do not have Christ, if we do not have love, that's what love truly means, to have Christ, then it availeth us not. The Bible teaches us, though we gain the whole world and lose our soul, what does it help us in the end? We can be very nice people. We can be people that are held in high esteem from other people. But if we're not born again by the Spirit of the Lord, when we die, we're worse than a beast. The Bible teaches a beast you can at least eat. A man is useless and worthless. He is put into the ground where the worms eat him up. So where do we stand with this God? Do we know him for sure? To whom will God reveal himself? In Isaiah chapter 28 in verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? It says, them that are weaned from the milk, and them that are drawn from the breasts. What does that mean? Whom shall he teach knowledge, and who shall he make to understand doctrine? Those that are weaned from the milk. Once you know you're born again by the Spirit of God, once you know that you are God's child, then he will start to teach you doctrine. He will make you understand. If a person does not know he's saved, once saved and always saved, then there is a problem. God cannot trust him in teaching him knowledge, because as soon as he gets into some ministry, as soon as he gets into some place where he teaches other people, Satan will come along and say, are you sure you belong to God? I've seen that with people. If you don't know that you belong to God, you need to pay attention. You need to be drawn from the breast. You need to be weaned from the milk before God can start teaching you knowledge. How does the teaching work? How do we teach one another? The Bible teaches us that we as Christians need one another. There's no such a thing as a lone ranger. We need other Christians, we need other pastors, other teachers to be encouraged and to learn from them. For the Bible teaches us, Jesus is the head, we are the body. We need nourishment from the head, but at the same time, the body works together. They do not separately operate. If one hurts, the other feels the hurt. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11, it tells us he gives some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What are they for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In today's church, we can accept the teachers and the pastors and the evangelists. But for some reason, the prophets and the apostles are shunned. And this is detrimental to the church, because the prophet is put there to show you what's going to come. Do we have prophets today? Yes, we have. There are quite a few out there that are very seriously connected to God, and they foretell of what things to come. I myself have had this experience where God showed me something and I knew what was going to come. Not that I claim to be a prophet, but this gift sometimes works in me. So we need to pay attention and start reverencing and respecting the office of the apostle and the prophet, the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher. Yes, we all respect the teacher and the evangelist and the pastor,
But when it comes to the prophet and the apostle, our respect is not there. And I believe that is because of some of the famous preachers that are out there who are spewing the lies that the prophet and the apostle are not for today. That is what's going on. How does one operate when it comes to being taught by a prophet, by an apostle, by a teacher? In Isaiah chapter 28 in verse 10, it must be precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So you have to be taught slowly and surely, making sure it sinks into your spirit. Once a teaching is in your spirit, then nobody can take it from you. I know I have taught people about the way of salvation. I have shown them the scripture. They studied it for themselves. And over time, the reality and the truth of salvation becomes lodged in their spirit. They understand without a doubt that they're saved through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it comes to prophecy, when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, some of those people simply close their minds and their hearts to those gifts and to those truths. Why that happens, I don't know. But they could have the same thing with the same assurance if they would trust the Word of God in how it's written and what it says. But alas, too many teachers and preachers have corrupted these people by their teachings. So we need to understand the Word of God will have the last say. So let's open our hearts to what the Bible teaches us. In Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us we should teach each other till we come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And let me tell you, if your salvation is not ingrained in your spirit, you are in danger of these cunning people that will come along. If you do not study the gifts of the Spirit yourself and seek them for yourself, then these cunning teachers will come to deceive you. They will sabotage your work for the kingdom by steering you away from the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need to understand that God wants us to study these things, let them sink into our hearts, into our minds, and into our spirits so that we can be free from all the distraction and all the confusion that is going on. I have studied the Word of God throughout the last 40 years. And I know for a fact that I am not confused. I have a good idea on the end times. I kind of know how it's going to play out. I don't know every detail for sure, but I know the direction we're going, and I know how it's going to end. The Lord has also opened my heart to the gifts of the Spirit. I know how praying in tongues work. I know what it means to cast out devils. I know for a fact that I've prayed for people and they were healed. I myself has been healed from sickness when people prayed for me. I know that happened to me. I'm not lying to you. I'm speaking from the heart of God that these things are still for us today. And I believe when we get closer to the end, it'll become even stronger. God wants to show his children these awesome gifts that he has for them. If we only would pay attention and turn to him and seek his face, and he will give it to us. So let's open our hearts to these incredible truths. God is telling us, I'm coming for a bride, and I want, and my greatest wish would be that the bride of Christ would be able to hold its head up and say, Lord, I'm ready to come. The Bible teaches us this, those that look for my appearing, to them will I return the second time without sin unto salvation. So let the Lord open your heart to these interesting truths and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the heavens looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep in the hay.
Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there.
When one studies the church world today, we can clearly see that there are many false prophets amongst us. So the question is, how do you spot a false prophet? In Paul's days, it was very simple. Asked him a few questions. If they didn't believe in Jesus, that he was the Son of God, then you understood that he was a false prophet. Today, Satan has it a little more complex than that. You have to check out their fruits, that's first of all. You have to check out their teachings. There are people who claim that they're born again believers, but they do not believe in an eternal lake of fire. Why would you believe in Jesus for salvation if there's no hell to shun, if you don't need to be saved from the eternal lake of fire? We have people who are out there proclaiming that they belong to God by the way they dress. And you can see clearly that there's something not quite right if you truly understand the way of salvation. So we have to be very diligent in these days when it comes to seeing a false prophet. I have given advice to people to study the Word of God for themselves before they even join a church when they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how serious it has become. But in a straightforward manner, the Bible teaches us we can easily spot a false prophet when we are confronted with him. The best way I do it is I know in my spirit, I know when I am connected to God, that God will eventually reveal to me when I am in contact with a false prophet. Our conversations, our ways of looking at the Word of God, and the person's attitude will tell me whether he is a false prophet. But still, the Bible says, if a person does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. That's the first point you have to look at. Many, many people are out there who claimed they're Christians. They're very, very quick to proclaim that they love God, and they will mention God a lot, but they never seem to mention Jesus. You can see it on TV. They pray in front of people, but they don't pray in Jesus' name. Why not? Are they ashamed of him? Well, that proves that there's something wrong. Maybe they don't believe in Jesus. It tells us very clearly in 1 John chapter 5 in verse 1, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Very, very straight to the point. If you believe that Jesus is your Savior, he is born of God. Christ means a Savior, Messiah. If you believe that he is your Savior, then you're born of God. And everyone that loves him, that beget, that's very interesting here, also loves him that is begotten of him. It says, everyone who loves him, who is the one that beget? It's the Father that beget his Son. It says, everyone that loves him that beget, that brought forth the Son, also loves him that is begotten of him. So in simple language, it says this, everyone that loves the Father also loves the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this scripture means. So if you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible simply tells us, he that loves not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. That is a very straightforward answer to someone who does not want to agree with you on that. So let him be accursed. That means let him be damned. Because it's only Jesus that saves us. It's only the blood of Jesus that brings us to salvation. The Bible teaches us there is no other name whereby given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And also it tells us this, he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So are you born again by the Spirit of God? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you assured in your heart that you're going to be with him for the rest of eternity once you cross that line? If there's a speck of doubt there, then you need to get on your face before him and ask him to reveal himself to you. Because if you cry out from a broken heart, the Lord loves a broken and contrite heart. If you cry from that heart, God will open your heart to him. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.